Hello, and welcome to the very second episode of Light the Eye, where we spotlight Illini athletics. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
And to keep things professional, that's the only thing Robert will say during this introduction. Coming up, we will look at Robert's trip to Columbus and talk about Illinois men's basketball. Their season debut in Big Ten play was a successful trip. We'll hit on that. Plus, since we're coming to you from the Armory on the campus of U of I, we'll share some Armory memories. There's another coaching shakeup in the Big Ten. That and much more. So thanks for being with us. If you're just joining us for the first time, or if you were with us for our debut episode, welcome back. We appreciate you. Let's light the eye. Well, here we are again in CITL, the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning inside the Armory here at the U of I. I'm Scott Beatty, radio broadcaster for the Illini and more. Robert Rosenthal.
What are you going to call me? You got to come up with something to call me this time.
Well, you're a fanalist.
Fanalist. That works. Look, we got the I here this time. The
How about
actual
that?
Eye.
That's fitting because it's called Light the Eye.
Yes.
You shared a bit of the story of it, but for those who are just joining us for the first time.
Yeah, this is what we hang on top of the fire engine. We only light it when we win for football games. If we lose, like the Ohio State game this year, it was at the post-game tailgate hanging there ominously unlit to taunt us. But yes, this is the eye that we light, the very one.
And now it's a fixture here in the studio. And when the eye is lit, would you say the Ville is lit also?
Yes. I mean, I thought about, should we do this just for, basketball? I mean, won a basketball game last night. I also do take it on road trips for, road football games. We lit this thing on the campus at Duke. We lit this thing at Purdue at the tailgate, this type of thing. So it travels with me whenever I'm covering road games. We'll have to figure out how to do that for basketball. But, yes, we are fully lit and beat Ohio State last night and in a good mood.
Yeah, we want to get into that because you traveled out there and back, obviously. Appreciate you hustling back to record this. This is where I think podcast hosts in their second episode would talk about all the great feedback they got.
Mm-hmm.
So we should do that.
Do you want to? You want to read what your sister texted you?
It's just, yeah. Let's just get self-congratulating ourselves
on
the back.
My mom loved
it. We did one episode.
Yes.
Congratulations. And we heard a lot of positive feedback. I feel like that should just be shared.
You know, we got the other camera.
Nobody had anything negative to say.
We got the other camera now, so we should probably introduce the team, right?
We should, because they helped make the first episode possible.
That's right. I'll let you do the introductions.
All right. Back on behind the monitors, we have Maisie Garrett and Ella Peterson. Hello to outstanding broadcast journalism students. Well, I'll let you introduce because I assume you're in broadcast journalism.
Yeah. We're both journalism students here at the University of Illinois.
I have had the pleasure of working with both of you on Big Ten Plus broadcasts. Mm-hmm. You do great jobs on air and behind the scenes.
Thank you.
And so we're glad to have you on the team. Ella, tell us where you're from and what you're up to.
All right, I'm a sophomore here at the University of Illinois. I'm from O'Fallon.
Metro East.
Outside, I'd call it a suburb of St. Louis, but that's a bit controversial. I love everything sports. I love everything journalism, and I've had a blast working, with and for the Big Ten Network. Maisie and I, either if you aren't seeing us on camera, then you can pretty much guarantee we're behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So do a lot of work there.
Maisie?
Yeah, similar to Ella, I'm from Plainfield, Illinois, so a little bit up north, kind of suburbs of Chicago. Again, could be controversial. I'm a senior now, so my last year here at Illinois, I live and breathe everything that has to do with this school. So I was very excited when you guys invited me to be a part of this and, get to add podcasting to my resume now.
Last episode, Robert made a reference to Friends. The show Friends, and I was concerned that would go past your generation, but you were tracking?
I was tracking. I watch Friends with my younger brother, so.
There's a whole new generation of people who watch Friends, Scott.
Oh, yeah. Scott, it's back.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a trend again to
yes.
watch it.
All right. Well, I didn't know.
100%.
seriously, thanks to everybody who said reached out to us on the first episode. It was fun to read the comments, but in case you didn't catch the first episode, I thought I would share the AI generated video summary from YouTube.
Okay. All right.
Just to see if
yes.
Just to help everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
Light the Eye.
Mm-hmm.
Debut episode kicks off a new podcast covering Illinois athletics. The hosts discuss the upcoming Music City Bowl
mm-hmm.
and recent basketball games, including a surprising fan turnout in Nashville. Expect insightful commentary and
nailed it.
Expect insightful commentary and lively debate on the Illini's successes and challenges.
I think AI is genius. I think it nailed every ounce of that first episode.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Love it.
How about last night? Illinois great. Basketball against Ohio State, 88-80, the win. Not one, but two Illini freshmen
yep.
score more than 20 points, Keaton Wagler and David Mirkovic. And I had to look this up. The last time Illinois had two freshmen score more than 20 points in a Big Ten game?
I don't.
You have to go back to a game against Minnesota last February when Kasper Siakoutsounis and Will Riley did so.
Yes. Well, that ruined. I thought we were going to go back to like Brandon Paul, DJ Richardson, both had 20 in a game or something even further back.
I know. I'm talking about two freshmen with 20 yep. plus points in yep. a Big Ten game.
Yep.
But I will note that this was a debut Big Ten game on the road and the first road game of the year for the Illini.
It's so crazy to sit there in the arena and hear those sounds made by the opposing crowd, the exasperation, the like, oh, you know, like, would this kid miss a three already and that type of thing. And to know, you know, if I'm watching a game at in a home game and some guy is going off like Bruce Thornton did last night for Ohio State.
That guy is a
yeah.
veteran pro.
Almost every time it's a senior or it's a junior, you know. I bet those Ohio State fans had no idea that they were getting beat like that by two true freshmen. That's the craziest thing about the whole deal to me is that, again, the media seats in Ohio State are right next to the fans. There's fans behind you and there's fans to your left. And the fans were – there was a guy behind me who was obsessed with – for whatever reason, he came armed with the free throw percentages of the Illini team. And so he's like, oh, this Stojakovic, he's not very good from the line. And then he makes both. He's like, come on, this guy only shoots 52% from the line. Whatever. You know, he was ready to like weigh what was happening based on the standard free throw percentages of the team. But there was this other guy over here that was just obsessed with like, you know, he would try to get the crowd going and try to get the crowd growing. And, they cut it to five and listen to this. And then, you know, David would hit a shot and well, whatever. You know, all of this keeps happening to get back in the game, get back in the game. Thornton did something, crowd depressed. Get back in the game, Wagler does something. It was as an opposing fan, about as much fun as you can have on the road because you have the team with the players that are making the plays to push away any run Ohio State was trying to make at home. And, you know, they're trying to get the crowd into it, Nope, nothing. Nope, sorry. And then when Tommy hits the three that just kind of dribbles in over the front of the rim, he bounces straight up in the air and still goes in. They were, you know, they headed for the exits.
He seemingly couldn't buy a bucket all night from distance.
Yep.
And then he gets that one.
Yeah, rattled a few out and then gets one that shouldn't have been out but bounced straight in the air and fell through.
So we've talked about how you live in this fanless world.
Yes.
Where you're a fan, you analyze things, but you're also in the media space. And this
yes.
all seemed to come to a head yesterday in Columbus, Ohio, at Value City Arena.
Yes, and I've said before that I feel like sometimes other fan bases and other people kind of know that there's a Illini fan amongst the Illini media showing up. And I think that's what this was last night, because my friend came to find me exactly at one time. As you'll see here, yes.
The Brutus Buckeye.
Yes, Brutus came up the stairs to the third row of the media seats,
the across. Mascot.
There was an empty seat next to me. He sat down. He messed with my laptop a little bit. He, you know, obviously the fans around were watching this whole thing. So he's sitting there and acting like he's taking notes and like
you were not,
I'm a media member.
Were you wearing orange and blue?
Nope. I keep it respectful and I only wear, you know, neutral colors if I'm seated.
There were Ohio State fans that knew free throw percentages.
Yes. But it was he came straight to me.
Could have known who you are.
And then, you know, I took a couple pictures with him and then I took the weirdest thing about the whole thing is, you know, he's doing all this pantomime stuff, but he doesn't make a sound. I've always wondered, is the guy in there going to be like, hey man, take a video now or something like this? But there was nothing. It was just it was like dealing with a mime kind of thing. And so, yes, he wanted to mess with me and tousle my hair and everything else.
Can I tell a mascot story?
You can.
Part of my hesitation here is one of the things I've been instructed to do for this podcast is keep you from going off the rails.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't want me going off the rails momentarily to give you permission to do so.
I don't need permission to do so. My brain is constantly headed there.
It feels like, yeah, you know, I can live in the nuance a little bit here. So.
Sure, sure.
So don't take this as a cue for you to go into every mascot story you know.
I will, but go ahead.
My family and I go to a Chicago Bulls game a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and we're in a section. I haven't been to a Bulls game in years and years and years, but we were given some tickets and we got to go, and it was cool because Io DeSumo was playing and Malcolm Hill also, but we were in this section and Benny the Bull comes by, and he's got the big thing of popcorn,
mm-hmm.
and he does the whole shtick where then he accidentally trips and spills the popcorn everywhere, but it's actually just like confetti.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids around and everybody's laughing and having a good time. Well, this gets on the Jumbotron for the whole section, and one of the television stations picked it up. And there was enough close up that you could tell it was us.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, the family text thread, hey, we saw you guys on television. It was so cool. And everybody in the thread was, you know, wow, it was on this TV and all that. And they were just so psyched that they got to see us on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I just responded, I have a radio show, you know.
Right, right. You could find me in media at all different times. Yes.
But
yes.
That's my mascot story.
Yes. I have.
Nope. We got to go back to basketball. I told you.
I had it all queued up. We were headed
to
my mom.
That
I'll just tell you what the story was going to be of my mom spotting me on TV and like texting me, which she still does today.
Oh, I know.
Yes. Continue.
When my mom sees me on TV, she says I need a haircut, which mom, if you're watching, I know I need a haircut. I've been meaning to get in, but thank you. Anyway. Brutus, you were not bothered by Brutus.
No,
it looked fine. Like if you were going to be the, I don't want to deal with you at the end, you cracked a smile. Mm-hmm. And so I think Brutus just won you over.
Yeah, I just have these theories. There was one time
that movie where they get the dog and they don't want the dog. But then, you know, eventually you warm up to the dog.
I'll leave the school unmentioned here. But there was one time that I got a different set of directions from the parking garage to the press box for a game than other Illinois media members did. They accidentally sent me the one from COVID and not the one from this. Sometimes I feel like that's intentional. Like I've always worried about applying for media credentials on the road because you can go through my Twitter and you can find me mocking Wisconsin. You can find me making fun of Indiana basketball and this and that. And I could see some SID somewhere and be like, wait a minute, why am I credentialing this guy who took a shot at our program as a fan recently? So one of those schools just happened to send me a different set of directions and sent me to the other side of the football stadium.
Boy, they showed you.
Yes, yes. So I think some of these are like somewhat intentional of let's get to the guy. And Brutus came straight to me last night, so I think he wanted to goad me a little bit. But hey, last laugh is Illinois 88, Ohio State 80.
And really, somebody said to me, shouldn't they have won by more? I said, no. 1 point more than the other. That's all you need.
Yep. Road win, your first road game. How many of those has Illinois lost in the last 30 years. Even the good teams in the 80s would go on the road the first time, go up to like Minnesota and lose to a bad Minnesota team because you're not ready for a Big Ten road environment.
The thing that strikes me about Keaton Wagler is he didn't come with a lot of hype. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much that's the era we're in of transfers and get old, stay old. Would he have had a little more Io-esque hype coming in? I don't think he was as high, as much attention was on him. And obviously he's not from in Chicago like Io was. My point is he kind of came in under some of our radars. I don't know if that was fair to him or not. But he has as much maturity as a freshman out there. One of the television broadcasts even said that, you know, they had asked Brad Underwood, hey, if Mihailo Petrović had been fully healthy in the summer, would have he been the starter over Wagler? And Brad was like, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact quote, but it was certainly not a clear because Wagler was that good. And he rebounds like crazy. The kid's a freshman.
Doesn't turn it over.
And he's surrounded by some older guys. You know, I think there's a lot to like about where things could go with the young guys.
Yeah, he...
I don't know if he's going to the NBA after 1 year or not, but he's...
We have seen freshmen... Let me say it this way. On the road, you will see a lot of games, like last night, where one guard plays all 20 minutes in the second half. You know, it would have happened with Io. It would have happened with other players of like, look, we need that steadying presence. I just can't take him off the court right now. Last night, that guy was Wagler. Like, you went, Brad Underwood even said in the post game, like, I left him in the entire, we needed his presence the entire second half. The guy you needed to calm everyone down, to be the guy to take the shot at the end of the shot clock. To that, it's not a senior, it's not a junior, it's not a sophomore. It's a true freshman that he said, I can't take him off the court. We need him out there right now. That kind of praise from a coach is very, very rare. Even Io's freshman year, there were games on the road where he was adapting to what it was going to be like when he knew he was the focus for opposing defenses and everything else. So it's just really impressive.
You did have maybe one advantage. That was not Mackey Arena.
Yes.
That was not 15,000 on top of you screaming.
Yep.
For a variety of reasons that you could dissect if you wanted to, Ohio State basketball is not that well attended.
No. And it's even the students struggle to make noise. They were cutting. I think they cut the lead to 5 late. Illinois had the ball. They were trying to make some, you know, the noise that Crush makes, the like everybody say the same, yes. And they just couldn't really get it started. There were a few in the front of the student section doing it, but they, like, the rest of the section just kind of wasn't on board with, you know, there was just this kind of resignation in the crowd. I said to friends last night, honestly, Penn State is the only other arena in Bryce Jordan when it's, you know, they had a great environment when they went to back to their old gym game a couple years ago. But Bryce Jordan, they curtain off the upper deck and they try to make it something, and it's just not. It's cavernous and it's a bad environment. Right now, it is between Ohio State and Penn State for worst road environment. I was at Ohio State in January of this year when Illinois played there and there last night, and it's just. Minnesota has a way better. Nebraska's home crowd is 10 times better than what Ohio State was last night. And they know it. Like, I was saying this on Twitter, and there's not Ohio State fans like, oh, you caught us on a bad night or this and that. Like, yeah, we should move back. A lot of people want to move back to St. John Arena and get back in more of a college basketball stadium. You know, this is a hockey rink, so you can see the boards around the edges of, you know, that type of thing. And that always kind of struggles to be the college feel.
They literally tarp off sections in the lower bowl for advertisements.
Yes, yes.
Seating.
Yep. They don't want to show, like, empty seats in the student section and things like that. It's crazy.
I'm told their football games do draw well.
Yes. I mean, come on. Like, that's the crazy thing. You walk in, you can see that stadium. You know what the noise is like from the students for a football game? They're capable of making that same noise when it's What are they? They cut it to three at one point, right? When Tommy hit the three, like they're capable of making that place crazy loud at that moment, and just the crowd just isn't into it. It's a cavern.
In attendance was the Balkan block,
yes,
or the Bratislav block, if yes, you will.
Mm-hmm.
A group of grown men,
yes,
some of whom I recognized,
yes,
who are in the orange tracksuits and the derby caps and yep, the fake cigarettes, and it had a script Illinois on it, and to look like the Eastern European coach.
Mm-hmm.
They are fully leaning into the Balkan identity. And maybe what just struck me was it looked like a bunch of guys who were just reverted right back to college and having a bunch of fun.
100%. And fun is the word. It's what I wrote about last night. And it was the only thing I was thinking about. So picture it. The backdrop here is the Ohio State crowd we just talked about, right? The backdrop is what should be a noisy arena, and a lot of the seats are empty, and the upper deck is 20% full, and the crowd isn't making much noise, and there's a lot of grumbling going on. And then you have the Illinois bench having a ton of fun. This group of guys right behind the bench making a ton of noise. You had Orange Crush there. 45 Crush kids showed up, and they had a block of tickets in the upper deck, making a lot of noise, you know, doing the wear a red shirt at the beginning and then tear the shirt off and reveal orange underneath, which they do all the time. So you have this like grumbly, angry, not happy fan base, home fan base that refuses to make noise. And then you have a bunch of people having fun. Like at the end of the game, Ohio State always sings Carmen, Ohio, the, you know, their school song. They have the basketball team win or lose, go out to midcourt. And Crush started singing Alma Mater over top of them during that. Like it was, it's just this picture of one set of fans. Okay, maybe they're upset about Ohio State's first football loss in a year plus on Saturday night, and maybe there's some hangover from that, and maybe it's a cold winter night and caught them on a bad night or something. But you have that picture of going on, and then you have all these people having fun. And then you go back to smashing the guitar, and you go back to the snowball fight after the Northwestern game. Like, Illini athletics are really fun right now, and they have coaches who emphasize it and talk about it, and this should be fun, and this and that. And you have that picture, and then you have grumbly Ohio State fans who didn't win the Big Ten. Oh, no. Indiana gets to go to the Rose Bowl, and you know, unhappy with their basketball program and unhappy in general. So it's just such a stark contrast for me walking out of there of like, man, it is fun to be an Illini fan right now.
We got more to talk about in a moment as we are in CITL, Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. Been great, great hosts and allowing us to have a little space here. We appreciate that. A little bit of Big Ten football news to look at as well, and a look ahead for Illinois basketball. We'll do that in a moment.
So as I said on our first episode, we have a title sponsor, and we're very grateful for that title sponsor. You're going to hear a lot about this over the months and years ahead. Our title sponsor is U of I Credit Union. The way I have framed this for people is that we wanted what we're doing to kind of be steeped in the campus and everything else. We're sitting here in the Armory right now. We have some journalism students that are helping us out with the project. And we also have a sponsor who has their headquarters in the Research Park on campus. They are as orange and blue as I am, and that's what we wanted to do. So U of I Community Credit Union, this is the thing I talked about last time. You can get the debit card or the credit card with a block I on it. It's quite fun to be in Ohio and flash that thing around town, even at the gas station. You know, I wear Illini gear wherever I'm at, and I'm talking Illini and everything else. And so we figured the ideal sponsor at my first call was to U of I Credit Union to talk to them about it. So thank you to them for being our sponsor, and check out the card if you can.
Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union, and we are in the Armory on the campus of the University of Illinois. So great how we ended up here, and it's a story maybe we'll share some other time, but this has been great, and it brings back memories. I think almost everybody who's been a student at the U of I has
100%.
Come through the Armory for one reason or another.
100%.
I think it's where you went registered for classes.
Yes, yes. This is where I registered for classes all 4 years. There wasn't this thing called the internet. Well, I guess there was, and it was being developed here with Mark Andreessen of a way to browse the internet. But yes, it was. This is where you came and you got in
just
line.
To be clear, when you were a student here, they had running water and electricity and everything.
We're talking about 91 to 96 for
not
me.
Not that old.
Yes, yes. But yeah, all class registrations were here. And I probably had 6 or 7 classes in the Armory. Like on this end of the Armory, I had a speech comm class. You and I have talked about this before. It was just on Generation X, this book that had just come out defining Gen X. There hadn't been like a name for it, but somebody wrote a book calling it Generation X and talking about what was coming after boomers and all this kind of stuff. And so it was, you know, it was like some of the cool classes were here. That's at least what it was for me. But I also have, like, when did online registration? So you were what years?
My first year was fall 98.
Okay. And you were still registered for classes at the Armory?
No, we registered online.
It was online by then. Yeah. Okay. So somewhere in there, because I think even my senior year, like fall of 95 or like spring of 94, we were still like coming to the Armory for class registration.
I also had a speech class here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marching Illini, which I was a member of for 2 years, mm-hmm. this is where you warmed up.
Yep.
In the Armory.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the track and getting your section groups and warm up, and then eventually you lined up and paraded over to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I also spent a good amount of my days at the building next door, the Harding Band building, because I was a music major.
Right.
If you're all wondering how I ended up on a sports podcast, well, he's a landscape architect. So.
That's right. That's right. I was going to say landscape architecture is a little further from this than music.
Yeah. There's been a lot that's changed inside this building, including this center that we're at.
Yep. And like my biggest memory of the Armory when I was a student. So I was a student fall of 91. You may have heard stories about this. There was a bacterial meningitis outbreak on campus, and actually 2 students passed away. And so they made it mandatory that everyone get a meningitis vaccine. And so it happened at the Armory. It was this, like, if your last name begins with R, you have to be at the Armory on Thursday between 2 and 3 p.m. or whatever. And so all the students would show up here. It was the most bizarre, like, people in moon suits, like, wearing the full, like, hazmat suits kind of thing. And they had those little machines that would do a shot, like a little pistol thing kind of thing, and they'd shoot it in your arm, and there's a tube running to something else, and you would just like step forward, they shoot it in your arm, step forward, somebody swabs it with an alcohol swab, step forward, somebody puts a Band-Aid on that spot. Like, you were in this line. It was quiet, it was weird and everything else, but it was like a movie scene in there, just in the big thing that they used this room to vaccinate the entire campus in just a few days.
Can't imagine an entire university campus going through a major vaccination or disease testing process.
Yes. Crazy,
all at
right?
Once.
It was the first that when COVID hit, it was the first thing I thought about. I remember telling my wife and my kids, like, hey, I remember this thing that happened on campus and we had to like get in line and do all this stuff. I wonder if that's coming next.
Maisie, Ella, what percentage of your classes are in a classroom, or I should say with people as opposed to online?
I can take this real quick on most of mine are in person because I chose it that way. Last semester I had them all online and I did not like it. So yeah.
You can, okay, explain this to me because I didn't even know this was a thing. You can like for the same class, you can choose either online learning or in-person learning?
It depends on the class. Most of them, it's either one or the other, but yep. Some classes are only online. A lot of core classes are in person.
Interesting.
And then there's some where you can choose one or the other.
Have you had any classes in the Armory?
Yes. I was talking about it yesterday, walking out with Robert, because I had one in here last spring, and every time you walk in and out, I swear I would come in and out a different door, and I would get so confused where I was. This place is like a time warp.
It makes me so happy to hear that. That, like, it's, you know, I was a freshman here, what, 34 years ago. And the fact that a senior is still getting lost, I still got lost. My classes, so my minor was Parks and Recreation. So I had a bunch of leisure studies classes. They were mostly on the west end of the Armory. And I would still get lost that senior year of like, wait, is it this hallway or is it this hallway? Is it that doorway? Is it that doorway? This is one of the more confusing buildings on campus.
Love it.
Yep. And Ella, have you had classes here?
I have. I had one class here. And Maisie and I were talking when we first got to the studio on Monday. First of all, we couldn't find it.
Right.
You can't find anything in the Armory.
Because of the Armory.
Right. And it was the same for me. I never used the same door twice.
Yep.
I think new doors appeared. New stairwells appeared. I never walked down the correct stairwell. I once found myself on a floor that had no exit.
Which yes.
I don't feel like.
There are like half floors in the Armory. Like, you're not on the second floor. You're like on this little level below where there's a couple hallways.
I feel like everybody I've ever talked to has a story from the Armory.
And it makes sense, too, why this would be the place for the ROTC. You know, the mind games. You got to train them.
That's great. Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like, here we are 30 years later from when I was here, and students are still getting lost in the Armory. I don't know why I love that, but I absolutely love that.
This Saturday, Illinois basketball.
Segue that one, pal.
Yeah, segue that one. Well, SpeechCon, we should bring in the SpeechCon professors.
There you go.
This is how you need to do this.
Yes.
This Saturday, 3 p.m. at State Farm Center, Illinois men's hoops hosts Nebraska for their second Big Ten game. That's ranked on ranked also, Nebraska. Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
The Huskers.
Longest winning streak in the country.
And they're ranked number 23.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a little bit of social media buzz. I don't know if it's because football has yet again been a bit underwhelming from hopes. But, you know, it might be like, oh, hang on. We might have a thing going here with basketball. By the way, their women's team is also really good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, you know, I'm a KenPom guy. I always like I like rankings beyond the top 25 just to know. KenPom still kind of doesn't believe in Nebraska. Like, the efficiency numbers aren't there to suggest that they're going to be really good.
Their defense is a little bit ahead.
Yes, yes. And defense is a little ahead of the offense. He has them 42 overall. I feel like, you know, they beat Creighton. And Creighton has been good for the last 5 years. Well, KenPom has Creighton number 68 now. They're probably not very good this year. Kansas State the same way. KenPom has them 80. Oklahoma same way. KenPom has them 57. Nebraska's built their number 23 ranking on, hey, we beat Oklahoma, Kansas State, and Creighton. We're pretty good.
And then they the just flip side, haven't lost.
Yes, yes. Go 9-0. You play six nobodies in those three teams, but they probably still haven't. But we'll find out tonight. They play Wisconsin tonight at home.
Yeah.
You know, if they can beat a decent Wisconsin team, maybe there's something to them. But I still look at that number 23 ranking with a little bit of skepticism of, you know, are they really that, or have they played anyone of significance yet?
A football item to get to. This just came out as we're recording it just a little bit ago. So more details will come out. But Michigan has fired Sharon Moore, their head football coach, for an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Ward Manuel, athletic director, says Sharon Moore has been terminated with cause effective immediately. Following a university investigation, credible evidence was found that Coach Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. This conduct constitutes a clear violation of university policy, and the University of Michigan maintains zero tolerance for such behavior. Interim coach is now Biff Poggi, effective immediately. Again, we don't know more details. Stop short of judging about whatever that relationship was, other than it obviously violated university policy. Part of me, the wow factor here is Michigan's going through another thing, and for all of the stuff that came their way with Harbaugh and the sign-stealing scandal and Connor Stallions.
And that other coach who was, like, arrested for, you know, getting into other computers of other, you know. Yeah, yet another thing.
Another thing, but this time they're not hesitating.
Yep.
Which I'm just going to, again, short of any other details, going to go ahead and assume it was the right call on their part.
Sure.
And that just because you just don't make that kind of move unless there's something very concerning.
Especially at a time like, you know, December 10th is a rough time to fire your coach, because I would say if they had fired him 10 days ago, there would be a list of candidates who are going to other jobs that might have been more interested in Michigan than where they went. And so now Michigan is entering, you know, we just saw what Penn State went through, right? And they were supposedly targeting this guy, and he signed with his school, and supposedly targeting this guy. And there's articles about how much money Penn State made for other coaches just by being interested in them, and then they signed extensions at their own schools. Well, now, you know, fine, they Penn State landed Matt Campbell, and they, you know, they came out okay, and they got the one coach who had really never left his location and was important there. Don't you think Michigan wishes this was 4 days ago and they could chase Matt Campbell? Don't you think they're thinking like, man, it would have been nice to get in on the sweepstakes for Lane Kiffin, or, you know, as we were saying inside, like Lane Kiffin has the opportunity to do the funniest thing in history. In history. Would be the funniest story in college football in the 2020s. But yeah, I mean, they're doing this right after the carousel stops, right? Penn State was the last stop. And okay, this and that one, who's Iowa State? Okay, they found their guy. And it's trickling down, and Toledo's coach went to UConn, so the Mercer coach went to Toledo, and all that is just now coming to an end, and now Michigan is looking for a head coach. It's crazy.
Incredible.
Crazy time.
Good luck to Illinois women's basketball. They play Mizzou Wednesday night tonight in bragging rights. The women's games always go home and home, so they're in Columbia and presumably would host Missouri next year at the State Farm Center. They don't do the neutral site like the men will do on the 22nd, which is the Monday coming up before Christmas. But six-game winning streak for Shauna Green's crew there. And speaking of freshmen looking very good, C.R. Parchment, we talked about that, freshman of the week. Yep. Mizzou is not off to a tremendous start.
And there's a common opponent here, remember? Both played the same team as their exhibition game, Division II Maryville. And Mizzou lost to Maryville.
In overtime, as I recall.
Yes, and Illinois beat Maryville, which is where my wife went to college. Trivia.
All kinds of connections.
So, yes. So, there is a...
Illinois baseball player Jack Zeebig also transferred from there.
There you go. There you go. The Maryville Saints making the news.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you know, it's a game they should win. Yep. But it's still bragging rights.
Our next podcast... We're going to talk a little. Some of you know exactly who we are because you've been around us in our other ventures. Some of you have just stumbled upon this. So we're going to talk a little bit just about who we are and what our approach is and how we got to this this project.
Why you have a collared shirt on and I'm in sweatpants. That's it's pretty much the focus of the entire episode, right?
Somebody has to keep this joint respectable.
Yes. Well, see, Elle understands. We're Metro East, right? Like you know, Madison County, St. Clair County. We live a little differently down there, down in southwestern Illinois, where I grew up. I live in Champaign now, but my heart is still in the Metro
East.
You
start plucking some strings while you tell me this story?
That's a good point. We might have this dynamic here because Naperville, Plainfield, and Highland O'Fallon. We could play with that and have fun.
We'll talk to you again. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, U of I Credit Union. Thanks to production from Maisie Garrett, Ella Peterson, and a great hand lent as well by Kevin Southworth. For Robert Rosenthal and Scott Beatty, see you next time. Light the eye.
Let's go blue. Let's take a look at that. Oh, that's a good look.
I thought we just turned it off.
No, let's close in the bat. I love it. This is still being recorded. They're still recording.
That was supposed to.
No,
turn
this
it off.
Is perfect.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, turn it off.
You're supposed to turn
unlike
to
the
cue,
eye.
To cue the show's over. There we go.
Boom. There it is. See you guys next time.